Welcome to How to Lead a Group, a leadership podcast for everybody. Jamie.
We're 9 weeks in. Let's just give it up for now.
I refuse to give up hope. Somebody out there is going to come up with a better name for this podcast than the one we have right now.
Maybe in season two.
All right, fine. Anyway, so during the podcast, we talk to experts. We distill the collective wisdom of people inside and outside the Crossroads community trying to understand better how do we lead and shepherd and care for these people that God has put in front of us. I am Eric Ankenman. I am a part of the content team here at Crossroads. And as always, I'm joined by the lovelier half of the podcast duo.
I'm Jamie Sims, and I'm on our communications team. Before we introduce our guests, let's do our segment on getting to know the host.
Getting to know
you. Eric, today's activity. Question. It's more than a question.
Okay.
Two truths and a lie.
Okay, so I use the same answer for this every time I play this game, and you'll see why here in just a second. So here's my three. I have killed a bat with a tennis racket, I have killed a bat with a screwdriver, and I have killed a bat with a bat.
Okay, before you reveal, I think we need to just address that's too many bats.
Agreed.
The fact that two of those are true.
Agreed.
It's too many bats.
The house we lived in prior to the one we're in now, we had issues with bats right around the time we were trying to sell it.
Mm. Did you disclose that?
No, because I removed them.
Okay, that's fair.
So this was like mid-negotiations. Like, when we did all the initial inspections, we had no bat, you know, for one of these. And then, like, we're in the process of trying to close. And it's like, and now we've acquired another bat. Crap.
So, what weapon did you not use?
You don't want to take a guess?
I feel like bat and a bat is the most obvious thing that you would use in your attic. Screwdriver's kind of weird. I'm going to go with that.
Well, the screwdriver is true, in fact. The bat is actually the lie.
Man.
So, we'd had two bats around. One of them, we woke up like 2 o'clock in the morning, and this bat is just flying circles around our bedroom ceiling. So that was tennis racket, just, you know, overhand swing. It's good form, too. You'd have been impressed. But the second one, like I said, this was the one when we were in the middle of trying to sell our house. So I climb up in the attic trying to find this bat. And it's, you know, like the ends of attics often have, like, those little vents with the slats in them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, in years past, they'd had problems with bats in the attic before. So somebody had put some, like, wire mesh on either side of those slats to try and keep bats out. And he had, like, wiggled underneath it and was, like, just chilling there on those little slats. So it's like, I can't hit him with anything because then he just gets scared and flies away. And if I'm going to stab him with something, it has to be something that fits through the wire mesh. Your face is great. It has to fit through the wire mesh. So screwdriver was the weapon of choice.
Okay, then.
So what's yours?
Mine are, I'm the middle child, I've represented Team USA, and I'm terrified of public speaking.
Okay, so I know number three is true. I'm gonna go with, it probably is true, but I'm gonna say that the represented Team USA is a lie.
That is true. It's not in any kind of cool way. I represented Team USA in an international engineering competition. I went to Paris, and we competed against 12 other countries, and we came in third.
Well,
we were in Paris, so we lost to French Canada and France. I'm not saying.
It's a little shady.
I'm just saying. But the lie
judges.
Is, I am not the middle child.
You're not.
My parents recently adopted a cousin of mine, and so she's my youngest sister, and that bumps me to, like, the second oldest. She knocked me out.
Knocked you out of that middle slot.
It's true.
Wow. All right. Well, we've probably fooled around long enough, don't you think?
It's true.
So today we are going to be talking about prayer, both kind of just individually, broadly, how do we think about prayer, and then also how do we think about prayer in a group context. And joining us today is eminent scholar in residence, Rob Seddon.
Welcome.
How you doing, Rob?
Hi, guys. Great. I have killed a bat with a tennis racket, And I have killed a bat with a BB gun. In our house, in our basement.
For the record, I have killed zero bats. I have had zero bats, to my knowledge, in any domicile that I have been in. I'm just saying.
That's because they fly over you at night when you're sleeping.
Oh no, that's so creepy.
I'm super impressed by the BB gun. That's a hell of a shot.
My brother, I was younger, my brother and I hunted it down because it flew through our house in our basement. And we were decked out with like ski goggles and a flashlight. We found it, we shot it, and killed it.
That's amazing. Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Yep.
Okay, so Rob, before we get started on the topic at hand, we just want to give you a chance to introduce yourself to our audience. So we're going to do a quick survey, 5 questions, about 30 seconds, rapid fire style. Are you ready?
Got it.
All right. So first thing, just tell us what you do and a little bit about your family.
I am on the content team here at Crossroads, just like Eric. I am married for almost 10 years with 3 daughters, age 6, 4, and 1.
What's your middle name?
Thomas. Named after my dad.
That's a good one.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last year?
That's hard. I don't think there were a lot of good movies this year, but I really liked 13 Hours, which was the movie about Benghazi. I really liked that. Mm-hmm. I saw Arrival, too. I thought that was pretty good.
All right. How many cats is too many cats?
One. One cat. I inherited a cat when I got married, and I will never have another cat.
All right. What is your biggest pet peeve?
I'm gonna say, now this is not exactly a pet peeve, but I'm gonna say pigeons. So I guess the pet peeve is that cities don't do more to get rid of pigeons. I hate pigeons. I fear pigeons. When you're walking down the sidewalk and that pigeon's in front of you and it doesn't know which way to walk, and I'm just always afraid it's gonna fly up in my face and I can't handle it. It keeps me out of cities.
Oh. All right.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so good. Okay. Whew. Recenter. Refocus. Here we go. So, to shift gears, you know, if we think about prayer, just kind of moment of honesty, prayer has always been a struggle for me. It's never been something that came easily or felt natural. It's always felt like I really had to work at it. So, you know, kind of coming at this from a novice standpoint in a lot of ways. So give us the big picture view of just kind of how you view prayer in general. What's your mindset on it? How do you view it? That sort of thing.
Well, I think prayer is, I mean, it's just talking to God, right?
Right.
So let's start with that baseline, just talking to God. Now, I know that can get complicated as you start to unpack it.
Right.
But let's start there. The cool thing about prayer is Jesus answered that question. So everybody asks, you know, how do I pray? How does that work? Well, Jesus very specifically answered that question, which he doesn't normally do on a lot of topics. Usually he's telling parables and stories. You're trying to figure out what he means. He said, when you pray, do it this way, which it's in Matthew 6. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't pray like the hypocrites do. Don't do it for show. Have a very intentional, serious, real conversation with God. He says to go in a room by yourself and pray. Now, I don't think that means don't pray in groups, because you see all of his disciples praying in groups often. So I don't think that's exactly what he meant. But he says this should be a very intimate, real conversation with God. And then he gives the Lord's Prayer in that same passage, which a lot of people know, the, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, that whole thing. And which, by the way, is communal. So I also don't think he means just go by yourself, because the Lord's Prayer is communal. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. But he gives this model of just being real with God and saying, thank you for all you've done with me. Please continue to provide for me. This is what I think I need. Please protect me. I mean, it's a very clear model of how to talk to God. So I appreciate that he was very specific about that, because it makes it a lot easier.
So you brought up, like, that prayer is not just an individual thing, it's communal. So can you kind of give us an approach for praying in a group, and especially for our new leaders out there, or for new groups out there? Like, what can they do?
Yeah. It's, Yeah, it's hard because, you know, it's all over the map. And I know that, so let me give a real example. So I have a group that we've been together for a couple of years now. It's been, maybe 5 years or so. And we've added 14 kids in that time. So when we get together as a group, it's impossible to do anything with any formality because it's just chaos. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't create for the optimal prayer environment, right? So we've figured out ways to pray as a group that I think have been really powerful. So yes, we pray when we're together, but sometimes it's really simple and really quick because mm-hmm. we don't have the capacity to do anything else because there are kids about to die for some reason, right? Right. So we've done things like we have multiple text threads going. So, like, the guys have a text thread, the girls have a text thread, and then as a group we have a text thread that we're constantly sharing prayer requests with. And we know everyone's going to pray about those things. Mm-hmm. I got an email last night from one of the guys in our group saying, I want to pray for everyone intentionally over the next couple of weeks. So everyone share your prayer requests with me and reply all so everyone else can see them. So we know where everybody is and what they're thinking. I can think of an example. A couple months ago, I emailed or texted all the guys in the group. I was having a really bad day. Mm-hmm. Like, not a bad day, but it was kind of worse than that. It was like just down in the dumps. Like, this is really bad. Mm-hmm. And I texted the guys in the group. I said, hey, I need your guys' support today. And they're all like on it. And I knew they would. And I knew their prayers were super simple. Like, they probably just thought in their head, God, please be with Rob today. But it worked, and I ended up having a great day by the end of it. So mm-hmm. we do stuff like that. And then I know the big question is in a group meeting. How do we pray in a group meeting? I get that. And I would encourage group leaders. First of all, group leaders are going to have to take the lead mm-hmm. because you'll be surprised how many people do not pray regularly and have never prayed out loud. I'm constantly shocked by that. Even people on staff here at Crossroads who don't pray with their spouse. You ask them, do you pray with your spouse? Like, no, I never really have. Or, have you ever prayed out loud? And they're like, no, I haven't. You think people are like these spiritual giants. Like, no, we're all the same. Like, most people haven't done it. So the leader is definitely going to have to take the lead in praying and model what that looks like with God. And I think that means modeling just being honest, mm-hmm. like not having a formulaic prayer. Like, you don't always have to start with the whatever, you know, Father God or mm-hmm. whatever. You don't always have to end with, you know, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Like you just have to be honest with God. Mm-hmm. And I think that the leader is going to have to model that. Yeah. So
one more kind of practical thing, and you touched on it just a second ago before we transitioned into a little bit different stuff. You mentioned specifically praying out loud, yeah. and a lot of people that being a real barrier, a real hurdle for them to get over. You know, what do you say to somebody like that, or maybe more importantly, like how do you help an entire group of people that have little to no experience in that regard? Like, how do you soften the blow a little bit? Yeah.
Well, I think it's helpful to prompt people, you know. So hey, as we pray right now, let's thank God for good things that happened this week, you know. Or let's thank God for where we've found freedom in our life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or let's ask God specifically for something in our work, to be with us for whatever's happening. Like, I think you have to give people specifics. Mm-hmm. So they know, because I think people
sort of rails to work.
Yeah, because I think people don't pray out loud because they just don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I don't know if I should say this, and people are thinking about, I wonder what everyone else is going to think of me, you know, and that I understand that thought, but also if you think back to times when you were in groups that were praying, mm-hmm. you don't remember anything anyone said.
Right.
You don't, because you're focused on what you're going to say and hopefully what your relationship with God. So I think rails is a really big one that leaders need to do. So you can't just open up the room and say, okay, let's pray. It doesn't work, right?
Right.
So you need to be, and it shouldn't be just asking God for things. Like, that's not a relationship. You know, that's my relationship with my 4-year-old. Like, you know, and a lot of times it is. Like, she just asks me for things, and I get it. But, like, it's not my relationship with my wife. Mm-hmm. It's not my relationship with my friends. Like, mm-hmm. it shouldn't be just asking God for things. It should be thanking God for things mm-hmm. and bringing your honest questions to God and sharing your feelings and your emotions. And, yes, asking God for things is definitely in there. I mean, Jesus tells us to ask God for mm-hmm. what we need. Mm-hmm. But it should be a lot bigger than that.
So there's... And you're hitting at it right there. There's a deeper level to prayer that I think as people get and as groups get more comfortable with prayer, you start to see the deeper principle underneath it, which is in maybe a way I would phrase it up is like that prayer is less about what we're asking God for, what we're saying to God, and then what prayer does to us, like how it changes us and how God uses it to you know, to shift our mindset and all of those sorts of things. How do you, as a group leader, you know, as you see your group is starting to mature and think that people are starting to kind of get it, how do you help them unpack some of those deeper layers of prayer?
Yeah, that's a good question. One thing I would suggest for group leaders is don't do it formulaically. So we open our group meeting with prayer. We close our group meeting with prayer. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, pray in the middle of your meeting. Like, shake it up for people. Mm-hmm. So it becomes more of an intentional thing as opposed to a, all right, this is what we do now. We pray, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I mean, I'll admit, I don't pray before meals. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people, especially around Crossroads, like, what's your problem? Like, you know, right? Oh, my gosh. I know, right? I might get fired. So, no. I don't pray before meals. Now, Jesus did pray before meals in Scripture. So, but he didn't command it.
Right.
And the reason I stopped doing it is because it got so just formulaic. It mm-hmm. was, it meant nothing. Yeah. You mm-hmm. know, And I see for a lot of people, it's a crutch. Like they say, oh, yeah, I pray because they say like 2 lines before they eat and that's it. Mm-hmm. Right. And I just don't think that's healthy. So I think the same could be true for group settings. Like if you want people to really connect with prayer and that it's really meaningful, then it needs to be intentional. Mm-hmm. It can't just become a formula. So I pray in the middle of your meeting, mm-hmm. you know. Say, okay, now, let's pray now, and let's...
make it more of a natural response yeah, to things that
right,
are happening.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that'll help people connect with the deeper meaning of prayer mm-hmm. than just the fact that it's just something we do. Yeah. It's just something that Christians are supposed to do.
That makes sense.
So let's maybe shift and talk about prayer as warfare. I mean, the Bible depicts it in those sorts of terms, and that can be kind of weird, just a little off-putting or strange to within the like typical group context. So can you kind of talk how it can be used in that way?
Yeah. There's a book I would strongly recommend about prayer called The Circle Maker. It's an amazing book. Brian Tome turned me on to it a couple years ago. I think he's mentioned it before in some of his talks. And my wife and I read that book, and it changed everything for us about prayer, about just the power that is in prayer, that God is waiting for us to engage with him in prayer mm-hmm. to do certain things. And for us, what we did, I'll give you our personal example, then I'll relate it to a group. So out of that book, we identified 4 areas of our life that we needed breakthrough, that we had significant resistance, and whether you say that's spiritual warfare or not, it's just stuff was not happening. Mm-hmm. And we felt like God wanted it to happen. And we needed breakthrough. So we, using the term from the book, we drew 4 circles on a piece, well, we literally drew circles on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. wrote our prayer request in each of them, so there were 4, had our daughters color in the circles, and then every day for, man, at least a year, but longer than that, probably a year and a half, 2 years, we prayed for those 4 things. Mm-hmm. With our daughters at breakfast, my wife and I would pray for those things. Like, we just knew those are the 4 things we're praying for. And by the end of that time, and I don't remember the exact time frame, we saw significant breakthrough in three of them. Like, three of them happened. Mm-hmm. One of them being God basically gave us a baby. We adopted a baby. It was a miraculous adoption that happened mm-hmm. over a 2-month period of time. And we had another baby. I mean, it was amazing. And that convinced me that our prayers are really powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it'd be great as groups get more intimate with each other. They start mm-hmm. to understand each other better and have kind of a trust and deep relationship. I would love to. I think it'd be great for group leaders to help people identify what are the big areas in their life where you need breakthrough, and pray for those constantly and consistently. Because God's very clear. He wants to give us those things. He wants to give us good things, but he also wants us to ask for them. Mm-hmm. And it's not always a one time, like, oh, God, will you please give us a baby? Like, I don't think that really shows a lot of faith, you know, mm-hmm. but we prayed for that for well over a year, and then it was a miracle the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tremendous power in prayer, but you've got to commit to it, and you also have to be bold. Mm-hmm. in it. And I think that book, The Circle Maker, really does a great job of just showing that. And I would highly recommend any group leader to read that book.
All right. So as we're coming to a close, we want you to give a practical tip to our leaders out there that they could do this week. Like, what's one thing that they could just go out and do?
What's the one pro tip?
Pray for everyone in their group. Mm-hmm. I would email or text, however they communicate, everyone in their group and say, what are your prayer requests? And I would say, you can send them to me privately, but ideally you'll respond, like reply all to everybody, so everybody can see. And then I would say, I'm going to pray for every one of those every day this week. And we're going to see what happens. Because I believe God will honor that, and God mm-hmm. will show up in some way. It might not be the exact way you expect, but God will show up in some way.
That's awesome.
So I would start with that.
So typically we've also, you know, in efforts to kind of humanize whatever topic we're talking about and not make it seem like, you know, for somebody listening, oh, they're the expert and they've got it all nailed down and it always works for them, I could never do that. We've typically kind of closed the show out with having our guests give us a bit of a fail story around the topic. With prayer, that's a little bit of a weird question. Right. So, like, can you in some way kind of help bridge that gap for leaders that are feeling that tension and saying, like, yeah, he gets it, I don't. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, like, I don't think there is failure. I mean, if you're trying to pray, you know,
that's
like,
a win.
Like, if my daughter is trying to come to me and ask me something,
right.
That's a win.
Right.
Whether she does it the right way or whatever, like, that's a win. So I don't know if there ever is failure in prayer. Like, if you're trying it, great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there are definitely those awkward moments in groups. You know, there's the, okay, let's pray, and no one says anything. Right? So you're thinking, all right, I guess this is silent prayer time. And then no one wants to be the first person. Like, you've been waiting, like, 2 minutes of silence, and then you're like, who's going to be the first person to say something, and what are they going to say? Like, I get it. It gets awkward, you know.
Yeah.
There's times where people might really get into prayer, and then they reveal stuff that you don't know. You know, like they drop the bomb in the middle of the room, like, oh, you know, God, please forgive me for my affair. And everyone's like, whoa, wait a
hold
minute.
On, back that trade up.
We should talk about that at some point, right? So, I mean,
it feels significant.
Right. Right. And then you also have the people who are, for whatever, they might have been brought up in a different kind of church culture or different prayer environment. So they're like really serious and, you know, praise you, God, for this, and thank you, Lord, for this, and like really kind of getting into it. And you just, and everyone else is like, I don't know what's going on here. And you just kind of go with it. Like I've been in those rooms too where, you know, hey, let them have their moment. You know,
right.
I'm not going to get in the way.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Rob, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
This is awesome. This is good
thank
stuff.
You.
Jamie, what are we talking about next time? Did you look it up?
Yes, I did.
Well done.
We're talking about discipleship.
Oh, that's going to be a good one. All right, join us next time as we talk about discipleship.